We'll have a story in the politics here about Los Angeles to tie in with your draft story there. So it's kind of interesting.
Oh, okay.
Because we try to, you know, come up with a complete, neat little package for you. So that
that's right. Where one thing relates to another.
Sure. That's what we talk about every morning
at
3.
Right. That's why our show always flows so well from one thing to another.
It does. Yeah, you ever notice that?
Yeah. Well, actually, rarely I've noticed
You think you're mentally scattershooting, but we're really not. Yeah. We secretly get together and plan all this.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. So
if we planned it, it'd be really boring.
We wouldn't
know where to laugh. We'd know where to laugh, but then it wouldn't be funny anymore.
We have no creativity.
This is funny when we talked about it 2 hours ago.
Yeah, so what happened? So, Scott Walker survives the recall. And again.
Yeah, pretty handily, right? By 20 points or
well,
something?
Well, no, it ended up being about 9. But
Oh, is that right? Yeah, oh, yeah. When I last heard it, it was almost
That's
20.
Right. But
so.
When they called it, it was.
Now, okay.
And the thing that's interesting, I guess, that we found out is that not all states handle election-type things the same way. And we were discussing yesterday, not only do they do, we want you out, we got somebody to replace you, all in the same deal. Because what they were going to do is they had Tom Barrett, who is the mayor of Milwaukee and will remain so, on the ballot as well. So that if for some reason Scott Walker didn't win or the lieutenant governor named something or another, if she didn't win, there would be somebody to step in immediately, as opposed to what happened when Gray Davis was recalled in California, and they had to have, you know, a chance for 212 people to run for governor, and that's annoying and expensive and time-consuming. So, nonetheless, he wins. However, it looks like the Senate, some of those senators lost because there was governor, lieutenant governor, four senators recalled. So it looks like the Democrats may control the state Senate in Wisconsin. But the deal is, this was grassroots that we were talking about. This was get the vote out kind of thing, which unions have basically always said that they could do. They could always deliver the vote. Well, this time they didn't. And it's interesting because you hear people say, well, it's because all this money came in from out of state. Well, that's fine, but can the other side not have money come in from out of state? I mean, they can do that too if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin is an interesting state, much like Texas is, in that the urban areas are far more liberal than the outer lands, if you will. Madison is a very liberal place. I mean, it's crazy liberal in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, he did the governor still did okay there, but you know, the picture that we got was from the Capitol in Madison when the teachers were there with their signs and doing all that kind of stuff. And if you thought that was a true representation of Wisconsin, of course it wasn't. Once again, the media running to the story where you'll have the most visually engaging pieces of the story rather than going out and talking to the dairy farmers or whoever who were anti-union. But the other thing that it did, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is in San Jose and in San Diego, they had questions about cutting back the pension plan for the unionized city employees. And that overwhelmingly passed in San Jose and still passed with about 67% in San Diego. But I think they were over 70% in favor of cutting the pension plan for the union city employees in San Jose. This is California, folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that.
In hearing some of the analysis that I heard on CNN, David Gergen, of all people, who's head of the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, said, you know, people really were voting with their pocketbook here. They've had to make cutbacks. They've felt the cutbacks. And for the union to believe that they deserve something greater than the general population, obviously voted down very soundly in those three locations. And I think, you know, I would think of San Jose as a fairly liberal area, you know, being right there near Silicon Valley and all that kind of stuff, and Stanford and all. You'd think that's going to be the case, but really not true. And so, kind of feeling good. The other thing that's interesting is the voters who went to the polls in California in this election cycle, they put together a new primary system, and that was, in some of the congressional districts, the top two vote-getters move on, even if they're from the same party. So in Los Angeles, to reference them, in one of the congressional districts that includes Los Angeles, the top two vote-getters were Democrats. So in the general election, there'll be two Democrats running against each other rather than a Democrat and a Republican.
How about that?
I think that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
Again,
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, we're not a one-party. I mean, we are a one-party state in Texas right now. And so that's somewhat couldn't really happen here. Well, if you think about it, though, let's hearken back to the days when we had Democrats that were liberal, Ralph Yarborough Democrats and John Connally Democrats, both Democrats by name, but the way they looked at issues was completely different. You had a Republican in there. Well, if that second Democrat was actually a stronger candidate than the Republican, why not have a rematch, if you will? And that's generally, I guess, what they're thinking is. So if you have a balanced state. And again, the other thing I'm thinking of is that
suddenly we're handicapping the political field like the NCAA basketball tournament.
Sure, yeah, right. But the idea, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what the political impetus was that caused all this to happen. Were there enough Democrats in the state house to change this, feeling like, you know, sometimes we have some pretty good candidates and our number two guy might be better than the other guy's number one guy, and they lose out in that first round. We never get a chance to hear them again. And maybe that's a way that they believe they could shift the power in one election cycle. And so I know what you mean. I don't know that it's a real black and white kind of issue, but they're looking at they've handled those elections differently. And I was just going through scanning before we started to talk, and the vast majority of the situations it is a Republican versus a Democrat, but in one or two cases I found two Democrats actually that will face each other in November.
So, there you are.
There we go. And the other thing that's interesting, to just go back to Wisconsin for a second, and that is that the half of the Senate comes up for election again in November. So no matter what happened in the state Senate race, you know, that can turn over apparently every 2 years or ever how long the terms are, that 50% of them come up for re-election. All right, let's see what else. Oh, this is a shock. Mm-hmm. Biggest divide in the U.S. today isn't race, it isn't sex, it isn't class, it's politics. Pew Research Center finds the partisan gap wider today than at any time in 25 years. We'll talk to Bill Flores in a little while. We'll ask him about this. But what the folks at Pew said is, we have been asking the same question in the same way for 25 years. The partisan divide now by far the largest single gap among the public, and the parties are more polarized than ever that we've seen in this 25 years. It's is not, I mean, I guess it's being proved out by the rhetoric that we hear from our elected officials. The poll also found the percentage of Americans calling themselves independent has grown, although most of those heavily favored one party. Counting independents who lean strongly one way or the other, the poll found that 48% of adults polled supported the Democrats, 40% the Republicans. And the Wall Street Journal, I believe, yesterday found some, through Freedom of Information Act, found some emails from Governor Romney written on his private Hotmail account that seemed to indicate that
he wasn't trying to contact a Nigerian millionaire.
No, he wasn't. But he was arguing for the individual mandate when it comes to health care. And that's something that a lot of Republicans will not be comfy with. The other thing that is a concern now is, let's say that the Supreme Court strikes down Obamacare. Does that mean that a whole bunch of conservatives then go, whew, okay, we don't have to go vote now? I mean, we'll have to see what happens. But a couple of things there. So that was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. And aside from that, it was a fairly quiet day in politics.
And yet we filled the segment.
We did. Yeah, I know. I ran my mouth as usual. Yeah, we can do that.
Some folks root.